One other announcement before we get into that. I meant to mention that Bruce's aunt passed away, and he will be going to Kentucky after services this morning, so he also will be out of town as well. I thought this morning, filling in this morning, that we possibly could maybe ask a question, and that is, whose name are you wearing? If you were to go or watch the Colts play, and I believe today they're down in Dallas, but if you were to happen to turn that on, you're going to see some Indianapolis Colts fan down there, and you may see a jersey, somebody wearing a jersey with number 18 on there. We may know, hey, who wore number 18 or number 12? You may see an 88, and that's people know that that person's name's on there and how important that name is to somebody. Or if you follow the racing, automobile racing, you may know a car's number, and you say, hey, he's driving what car number that is, the 24 car, what it would be, and you could tell that person's name who's on there. And oftentimes our name can be very important to us and who we are. And when we name our children a lot of times, we think about identity or how we want them to be identified. God named Adam. He created Eve. He fashioned Eve out of Adam's rib. Adam was created really from the dust. And as we think about that, each of those had a name. And then Adam also named the animals in the Bible and had dominion over those animals. Other things we think about name would be the family name. A lot of times a family may want to have a son because they know that they pass on whatever their last name would be, whether it be a Puckett, Thomas, Crowder, but you'd want to pass that on. Dickey, as we think about those here, or who this morning. But there's other names that we think about that would give us a bad feeling or not. We think about Stalin or we think about Hitler. And some names are out there we certainly wouldn't name our folks that because we know what that name relates to. We think about some of the famous presidents that are out there that we've had. But a man's name is also more valuable than silver and gold. We know that from Proverbs chapter 22. And how important that name is. So as we talk about this morning, my question is going to be, and we're going to look to a few verses, is whose name are you wearing? So what we have there in the passage that Brother Alvin read us is that this group of people that went out east, and they were, Nimrod led the group, and I'll talk about him here in just a minute, but he went out there and they went east to Shinar, and from there, they went to go build themselves their own city, but the whole earth at that time used the same language, or that Hebrew word at this time, as the Old Testament was written, the Hebrew language is same lip. So the whole world had the exact same language, how they communicated with one another. And if we think about that, why did they journey east? Well, anybody that ever left God or fled from God or fled from the presence of God and up until this time always went east. When Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, they went east. And remember, God placed a cherubim at the east side of the Garden of Eden to keep them out. Cain, when he fled east. But when they left, they would typically go east. Let's look at that reading that Alvin read for us there in verses 3 and 4. And here it says, then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. So as we think about that, why did they want to make themselves a name? Well, the commandment was given just a few chapters before when Noah came off of the ark. God told them to repopulate the earth and to scatter up over and fill the earth. So that was a commandment given, and they understood that because we see the reading here when we read that. Come, let us build for us a city whose tower is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered. They did not want to be scattered. So let's hang together. God told us to scatter. We don't want to scatter. So let's build for something what we have here. As we think about that, how he blessed Noah and told him to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And that's in Genesis 9:1. lest they want to be scattered. So this group of people, led by Nimrod, did not want to be scattered. They wanted to stay together, and they wanted their independence away from what was wrong. Well, what's wrong with that plan? What's wrong with why they want to get away from what God's command was and do their own thing? Well, let's first see who was Nimrod. If you went back one chapter there in chapter 9, there in about verse number 8, it said, Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, in the land of Shinar. So he started building these cities, a very powerful person. From that land, he went to Assyria, and he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ur, and Calah, and Rezin, between Nineveh and Calah. That is the principal city. So here we had a very, very powerful person, and just a grandson of Ham, who was who this was. So this is being led by him. So that's who Nimrod was in leading that. The thing of it was that they said, let's build for ourselves a name. They wanted to be their own thing, their own city, and not follow what God had told them to do. So what did they have? They had a passion for independence. And sometimes we see that today where, we should be somebody, but we all kind of want to be independent, but we want to be independent, but still think we want to be dependent upon God. And we can see some of the very things that we're seeing here this morning when we talk about that is their independence, because they went to build a city for ourselves. And oftentimes when we're thinking here on this earth, we want to build up for us treasures on earth, things that we have, things that we can maybe be proud of. And oftentimes we overlook who those blessings come from because we want it for ourselves. We think about me, 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 us, us. And we leave out the very one who created us and who all those blessings are from. But at the same time, they still saw a connection to heaven. They still saw that, hey, look, there's God out there, so we're going to do our own thing. We're going to go rogue. We're going to do our own thing, but we're still going to have a connection with God. And so we've got a plan. We're going to build this great city called Babel. We're going to build this great tower. And this, if you think about this, it's not into the heavens is what it said. There was no way they were going to build that through the stars or all the way where they think they could reach that. But if we can think about what they were going to build, it was going to be more like a steeple. So oftentimes they saw that, but they're going to build a big type of a steeple that's going to reach up into heavens, and we're going to be able to connect with God, and God's still going to be over us, but we're still going to kind of hang here. So lots of things there as man got off from what his plan was to what this group of people were. So this city they went was going to be independent from God. So they kind of already didn't go out and scatter, fill the earth. This group decided to stay together. We're going to build these cities, and we're going to make for ourselves a city. Our tower is going to be able to connect with God. We're still going to be able to build that into the heavens. We'll still have that. We're going to build it our way. Does any of this sound familiar if we think about some of the other religious organizations that are out there today? Maybe they've gotten away from the Bible. They've went other directions. You very seldom ever hear them quote a Bible verse or refer back to the Bible as what their authority is. But we're going to build this thing our way. And this was man's attempt way back then was to attempt to link God back down to earth. God, we're going to build this, but we're going to ask you to bless us because we're building this tower to connect with you. And we're going to practice our religion on our terms. So here's what we have with this city. So we want to know what was their problem when they went through this. Does this sound familiar from some of the things that we see today? I would think if we all answered, it probably does. Some of what we see out there have gotten away from God. Some of those, you have different religious organizations. You have a religious organization that actually worships Satan. So as we think about that, how far can man get away? Well, let's think about this. How do we go about and change their name? So the problem here was they're going to build ourselves a name. And we see that there in the scripture. What is ourselves a name? They didn't want to have the name of what God had for them, but we want to build these mighty cities led by Nimrod, and we're going to make for ourselves that name. What's wrong with that? So they changed their name. Well, here's the problem. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 3, or you could certainly look at it here. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So that's the divine nature in which God set up mankind. So the head of every man is going to be Christ. At this time could be God. Now we know that in the beginning, all three, and we'll see this again here in the verse, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were all here in the beginning, because we'll see that here in a couple verses down. But what happens is, a lot of times now, when man does not want to come under the authority of Christ, but still wants the authority over his spouse or the man will still want to have authority over women, but they don't want to take the authority and be under Christ. So oftentimes when you see a break in what that divine nature is and how God set that up, that's where oftentimes you'll see trouble in today. You'll see trouble in society. They still want to have authority over their spouse, over women, but they do not want to have authority, don't want to come underneath the authority of Christ. Now, you noticed any time that Christ was on earth, he always gave all praise, honor, and glory to his Father, which was in the heaven. All of his operation through ministry, he always pointed back to doing his Father's will. Christ went under the authority of his Father. Women will go under authority of their husband, but a lot of times the men, and for us men, do not want to find ourselves under the authority of Christ. Lots of problems here with this. As we mentioned earlier, God created and named Adam. Adam then named Eve, and God was the one that created this chain of authority, not man. So when these men back in the book of Genesis didn't want to be underneath the authority of God and with God's command for them to scatter, multiply, and fill the earth, which it's done now. I mean, the earth has gotten filled. They reneged on that, and they knew that that was a commandment, because they said, let's stop and build a city lest we be scattered and we don't know our name. So we're going to hang together on this. Let's look at this just a little bit further than what happens. See what God decides to do with this group. Verse 5. The Lord came down. That's an interesting phrase, as we think the Lord came down. There's not going to be anything any one of us are ever going to be able to build on the earth that's going to get us to God. Everything that we do here on this earth, anything we set out to do, if we want God to be involved, we're never going to get to his level. So God's always going to have to be able to come down. So the Lord came down, capital L, there in verse 5, and let's just read that. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Now, he already knew beforehand what was going on down there, but came down to see it. And this was at a time, if you remember, when God actually spoke to the men of the patriarch time. We know that he spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know that he had spoke to Noah. So this was a time that we would have saw God where he would have come down. But why did he come down? He came down, as I mentioned, come down to see what they're doing. Come down to see what their plan was, exactly what they were doing. But you know what? It doesn't matter what he would do, because we'll never be on that same level as God. We'll never be able to reach his level. He's going to come down, because if we think about it, how we were created, we're created from the dust of the earth. And when our life here is over, guess what? We're going back to the dust of the earth. So we're no more than sophisticated dust of the earth. And for him to come down there and look at that on their level, we see that we see that we'll never get to his level. Verse 6, interesting here is, as he mentions, and the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to somehow pick up some type of power and be equal with God. But what God's saying is, there's a certain level of intellect that man has. And when they get this idea this close to when they were given the commandment, and they've already started to build a city and go against God, it's hard telling how far to the left they're going to go, is really what God's saying here. So when we step away from the authority of God and step away from what God would have us to do, the first step's always going to be the hardest, but when we get further away from God, mankind, the easier it is for them to stay away from God and not come back. If you ever want to find the Lord, just go back to where you left him, because he didn't go anywhere. But when they did, and he said, nothing will be withheld from them. So it's hard telling what they're going to do for now. They've already went rogue, and here's that judgment from them. Notice there in verse 7, another interesting comment there, and I said we would get to that. But there in verse 7, come let us, now notice the capital U, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now the us there would tell us a very good verse in the Old Testament that, hey, this is God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming down, and what are they going to do? He's not going to go down and crash their buildings and their cities they're building. It's simple. Just confuse their language. Because when they can't communicate with one another, and this person's making brick, this person's making mortar, and you need more mortar because you're making brick. It was actually a very sophisticated building they're building, because before this time, most of the stuff were built with stone. But they were actually making their own stone out of brick, so this would have been more of a fashion-type building. Nimrod was a very smart individual, but in no way could they ever get up there to where they could be on God's level with this. But let us go down. They confused their language and then confused them. At that point, they had to scatter. They were given the commandment. They failed to do it. They decided to stay for themselves a city. But at this point, there was no doubt that they had to scatter. And God's will overpower ours every single time. We'll never be able to overthrow or to overpower what God's will is. What God's will is for mankind on this earth will always be God's will. In Philippians 2, there in 10, verse 11, where he'll overpower us is that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, those that have passed on before us, those on earth, the angels in heaven, those on earth being us, and those under the earth, those that have already passed away, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father of God. Now that's God's will for us, is that every knee will confess Christ. As for us as we did that. What happened to them, though, back in Genesis was? They went against what God wanted them to do with that command, but now they've come full circle. They went all the way away from God. We're going to make for this ours that. We're going to put a tower up so we'll still have connection with God. But now they have to scatter. They've come full circle back to what God's command was through the help of what God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit had them do by confusing their language. You know anybody now, though, that maybe has left God and been against God's will? When we think about confusion, you know anybody, an acquaintance, a family member, who's a little bit confused about their life, where they've been, where they're going, what their purpose is here on earth? They just don't seem, they just don't seem to get it. What's going on from them? People be confused. The further you get away from God, the further you're going to be confused. You're not going to have that peace that passes all understanding. You're not going to have that blessed assurance. And you're going to have a lot of things going on in your life that you're not going to understand. But could you imagine going through some of the heartache some of the things that we have to go through this life without God, it'd be hard for us a lot of times to be able to understand how we could go on with that without God. But there's many, many, many people around us now that have went another direction, that are not following God's will, and they're confused. So, especially those that are not wearing the name of God and having God's name, that made their communication confused. It's oftentimes, even today, the communication of those that are outside of Christ is confused. The things that they say, we sometimes don't understand. How did they get, where did they get that? Where did it come from? They don't have that. They've not taken on the name of Christ. They've not taken on coming underneath the subjection of Christ, as men haven't, women haven't. They don't understand their role that's up on this earth. They've gotten away from God and went rogue in their way. Think about now, as we think about today in modern times, God can confuse any plan that we have. Any plan that maybe we have will be confused. You remember back in 1912, the greatest ship that was ever built took years to make this, Titanic. And the comment was made before they started to board, even God couldn't sink this thing. Well, that's the last thing I think I'd want to hear if I'm getting on this ship. On its maiden voyage, very first through, hit an iceberg, ripped the side of the ship open. What, 1,200 and some people died out there in the icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean. It makes me sometimes wonder is that anything we build on our own, we build away from God, we build our own fortune, we build a company. The things that we're able to build here and we don't put God involved in that, God can certainly come in and confuse us with that. It's always made me wonder that the very wealthiest nation on earth, the most sophisticated, the richest nation on earth, how in the world could somebody living in a cave under a rock in Afghanistan bring this country to its knees in just a matter of hours? Just makes you wonder. Won't say what that happens, but it certainly makes you wonder. But I will say this. It certainly makes, certainly I will know that God's in charge. And God, the same God that ruled over these people back in the book, 11th chapter of Genesis, is the same God who rules over his creation today. And whatever man tries to do now in the year 2022 and going in 2023, God's in control of what man does. So the further this country gets away, God certainly can do that. Many today do not understand it. Just don't understand the divine authority that God put in place. They don't understand the role of Christ. Very few religions, less than 20%, even involve Christ in their religion. Our Jewish friends are still waiting for the Messiah to come. Others, the Eastern religions, the Islams and those, believe in Yahweh, but have no, Jesus is just a prophet. And very, very confused in what they were and being able to understand that. So the question this morning that I want you to think about is, whose name are you wearing? Are you wearing your own? Do you have your name on the back of your jersey? Are you wearing the name of Christ? So let's do three things. I'm wearing Christ's name, three things you must do. Number one is going to be the easy one. You got to wear his name. You wear his name when you're home. You wear his name at work. You wear his name on the recreational field. You wear his name when you're out shopping. You always wear his name. If you've taken on the name of Christ, you wear his name. Number two, you bear his name. There's going to be times when Christ bore his cross. He was spat upon. He was humiliated, pulling his cross, made fun of, ridiculed. And when you're wearing God's, if you're wearing Jesus' name and you're not getting some ridiculed, you're not getting harassed, you may not be bearing his name. But to bear his name is when you have an opportunity to confess Christ as your Savior, and you don't. Don't expect Christ to confess you in that last great day. And thirdly, going back up, thirdly, you share the name. You share the name of Christ every chance you get. When you see somebody that's confused, that are outside of Christ, that are having difficulties in their life, you take it, that's your opportunity to share his name. Take that opportunity to pray for their relative. Take that opportunity to listen to them and to share that. So the question this morning as we finish our lesson is, whose name are you wearing? There's another, really quickly, if you remember back in 1980, and that probably some of us older maybe could, but the United States was in the Winter Olympics. And at that time, the rules of the Olympics was some of the other, Russia, China, could have professional teams participate in those Olympics. But for the United States, didn't, because they called, the other countries didn't call their people professionals. So we always used college athletes in the Olympics. But do you remember 1980, the hockey team that the United States had, they put together? A lot of them were from the University of Minnesota, the University of Michigan, a lot of those northern ones, North Dakota, Wisconsin, had a lot of team members. And their coach at that time put them against the most mighty team in the whole world. And that was, they come in, they beat Russia, and they beat a lot of those Norway and a lot of those countries. But they got down to the very last to win the gold medal against Russia. But the thing that the coach did, and there's a movie out and there's books about out of this, is that he made them say, I'm on Team USA. Because at first they were all saying, hey, look, I'm from Minnesota, I'm from Wisconsin, I'm from this school. If you watch the movie or ever read the book on this, and it's a good movie, by the way, is that he made them say, I'm from USA. All of them underneath are from the USA. And he drilled them on being from the USA, and they were in better condition than the other teams were. He kept fresh legs on the ice at all time. As soon as somebody looked a little bit tired, he was putting new guys out there. And they wore the Russians down and ended up beating them. And that's really how it is that when you take on the name of Christ, you're going to take on some giants in your life. You're going to take on some big folks. But if you're wearing that name of Christ like you should, and you're bearing his name, and you're sharing his name, there's nothing God's going to put in front of you that you can't overcome. So think about that this morning. And if you've not put on Christ, now's a perfect opportunity for you to do so. If you put on Christ and maybe you're not living as Christ would have you to live, you've not been bearing his name, you've not been sharing his name, there's no better time to come than what it is right now as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming.